So what I learned was that fibromyalgia is kind of a mysterious condition that causes full body pain, but there's a link to the mind. So my brain is constantly receiving all of these signals from all over my body that are like red alert, something's really, really wrong. When we neglect our inner child, we are forsaking everything that child has been through and kind of leaving them in the dust, but that can come back to haunt us in physical ways. As I'm here to say, honor that child that you were, and you will be healthier for it, both physically and mentally. I learned that I can look at everything different now, and I can choose from this moment forward. I don't have to remain the same person. I can choose to be different, and I can choose to start looking at things a lot differently. And that was the beginning of just powerful transformation in my life.
In our busy lives, we often forget about our health, thinking everything will be fine. But when tragedy strikes, it forces us to take a closer look and care for ourselves. Sometimes the challenges that come our way are the greatest gifts, urging us to invest in self-discovery. Discover the transformative power of embracing change and acknowledging pain that leads us to our true selves. Our next guest is Jamie Allred, chronic pain coach, holistic wellness coach, and an author who was diagnosed with fibromyalgia at the age of 35. She was very determined to find relief that did not include using pharmaceuticals or settling for her physician's grim prognosis. After finding relief through holistic methods, she decided to continue on her path to include helping others with chronic pain, which led her to publish her first book, Alchemize Your Pain. Join us as we explore some of the chapters in this book to bring you more hope and transform your pain into empowerment. Enjoy. Jamie, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much. That was a wonderful introduction. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Allred, I think you were pretty close.
Awesome. Thank God. Anyway, so Jamie, before we dive into the content of your book, would you share with us your story? First, how did you find out that you're diagnosed with fibromyalgia? And what is fibromyalgia even mean? You know, for many people watching or listening right now, I think it's very important to share a little bit information about what it is and how does this really affect your whole being. Share with us your story.
I'm wondering how far back to go. So in 2019, I experienced a back injury at my former job. And while in recovery for that, which I wasn't really making much progress there, also through Western treatment, I developed pretty much overnight these terrible pain symptoms that felt like, at first, it felt like I had caught the worst flu ever, and my whole body from head to toe hurt, and all I wanted to do was lay in bed, and I couldn't hardly move. And after a week or so of that, I began to get concerned that it wasn't the flu. You know, I should have gotten over it by now, and I wasn't getting any better. And so I started raising concerns with a couple of different physicians that I was working with at the time. And they were just kind of dismissive. They, you know, especially this was in the middle of the pandemic. And so there was a little bit of like, it could have been the vaccine that triggered something in your body. There were a couple of explanations to just kind of insist that I just waited out and it would get better. And after about 6 weeks, it didn't get better. And I was talking to my gastroenterologist, and I just pleaded with her to please, you know, take blood tests. Let's please dig into this, because I truly felt deep down that there was something very seriously wrong. And I was concerned that it was going to be a much more impactful disease than the flu or symptoms related to the COVID vaccine or anything like that. And so she took the blood work, and long story short, I talk about this part in my book, but basically her nurse practitioner called me and said that my blood work all looked great. And she said, congratulations, and she hung up the phone. And I was just dumbfounded, because I was certain that we were going to at least figure out what was going on. And on the one hand, I was very happy that my blood work was good, but I was also very confused. And that's where I began to question my own mental soundness. Was I actually suffering some kind of psychotic breakdown or something? And I wasn't even, and it was manifesting in physical ways. And so then I scheduled an appointment with an internist. And just within one appointment of telling her everything that was going on, she said, I think you have fibromyalgia. And I didn't know what that meant either. But I was happy for a diagnosis, because I am the type of person that once I have like even a teeny bit of information, I will latch on to that and research and learn everything that I can. So what I learned was that fibromyalgia is kind of a mysterious condition that causes full body pain, but there's a link to the mind. And this is where Western medicine kind of gets a little bit lost, because they still aren't really sure what that link is. But essentially, the general feeling is that there's kind of a switch in our minds. That if something goes wrong, if something's not healthy or not right, it will switch, and suddenly your nervous system will be sending and receiving pain signals, even though there's not actually any physical symptom or physical injury. So my brain is constantly receiving all of these signals from all over my body that are like red alert, you know, something's really, really wrong, when really I didn't have inflammation markers, and you know, my blood work was great. So it was really kind of confusing. And that at that point, once I realized that there was a connection there, that was when I was like, I want to study psychology, because I want to understand what happened. And given I was under a lot of stress at the time that I developed it, the condition, I still wanted to understand what was the connection, what was the cause, and why did this happen to me? And essentially, after doing a lot of work based on psychology research and medical research on the condition, is that like a lot of people, I have a history of trauma in my past, but how I handled that trauma, I was raised and programmed to suppress it, to not talk about it, and to just carry on.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, that's how they handle it.
Yes.
But it does accumulate in our bodies. Our bodies remember these emotional traumas. And if we don't take the time to process them, to acknowledge that we have gone through something that was painful, whether physically or emotionally, these things start to stack up. And that's what eventually causes that switch, that the nervous system is now confused. It goes completely the other way, and everything is a danger. Everything is an injury all of a sudden. So I hope that's a fairly clear explanation of. Okay.
Yes, we don't want to spill all the information or story because we want them to grab the book and have more details. Anyway, now let's talk about, you know, the book. I'm super curious, like, what prompted your decision to write a book about your experience with chronic pain? Like, would there be any particular situation or turning point that you could remember that inspired you to share your story and, you know, why alchemize your pain, the title? So share with us behind the scene or behind the story of your inspiration creating this book.
Well, I had started to host Eventbrite workshops for chronic pain sufferers. And as I was kind of evolving the content using my story as the foundation, I realized that I had the structure, the outline for a book within my outline for an Eventbrite workshop. And so that's really what inspired the actual book and working with people in those workshops. The term alchemize your pain is, I wanted to be clear within the title that it's not a medical book. You know, it's not medical advice. It is transformative advice. And so that's, I wanted to be clear and feel like that was transparent in the title.
Yeah, I love it because you made it clear in the beginning and I read the entire book. So I have full, you know, feeling and involvement in terms of your journey. And you covered so many or various insightful topics. And the next question that I'm about to ask you, because I find it very interesting, you mentioned one of the chapters, Cultivating Creativity Outlet. And I thought to dive in into this chapter because I believe that we could cover some of the tools that you have shared in the other chapter. So the question is, what, in your opinion, is a crucial or key element often overlooked when it comes to cultivating creativity in our lives?
I think we stand in our own way of cultivating our creativity. I think that in general, people in our society tend to think of creativity as including, you know, one term is the plastic arts, and that's painting, drawing, composing music. That's art, right? You imagine going to a fine art museum and those are artists. Yeah. And the rest of us are just regular Joes that aren't creative. And that's so untrue. And I have found that I truly believe that if you are a human being, you are a creator and you are meant to create in whatever capacity that means for you and is fulfilling for your soul. And it doesn't always have to include painting or music or drawing. There's so many different levels of creativity, and we don't realize that we're using them, or we completely suppress it altogether. But it was my studies in psychology that kind of started to open that idea up for me, because there's a whole psychology theory that's based on doing artwork to work on healing emotions and kind of get your emotions out into whatever your forum that you're working on. And it helps to kind of reframe and get a new perspective on whatever it is, your trauma, just whatever you're feeling that you're working on at the time. And that specific theory of psychology really resonated with me. I could really grasp onto that. And I thought, well, I'm not doing that for myself. And why not? And I realized the flaw in my own thinking for a very long time. And I I thought I was not a creative person. But as I started to dig into it, I was like a very creative child. I was very creative all the way through high school. I played clarinet. I made some fabulous paintings and pieces of artwork, and I've always enjoyed crafting ever since I was a kid. And I just suppressed that because I needed to survive. You know, I especially in my late teens and throughout my 20s, it's just survival mode. It's just get out there and work and pay the rent, and nothing else matters when actually those other things do matter.
Yeah, I think you mentioned one particular point there that I believe this is, could be one of the reasons why we disconnected with our creativity, because I'm a big believer, I'm agreeing with you that we're totally creative people. And one of the reasons why we disconnected, it's because over time, our conditioning, right, our society, we could say brainwashed or manipulated our beliefs. And so one of the things that disconnected us is forgetting about our inner child. You know, you mentioned about when you're a child, when you're younger, because when you're connecting or reconnecting with your inner child, you tend to just be explorer. You want to experience, you want to experiment, but because we're getting older with the age, but not with the heart. We try to project that for us to be seen, respectful, authoritative, therefore we have to look serious. In fact, I do believe that when we always reconnect ourselves with inner child, our creativity will continuously cultivate. And at the same time, we're gonna be having more fun. And, you know, when I was reading your book and I was like, huh, I was just wondering if you have ever heard someone actually recommended to you laugh therapy, or like, you know, spending time to watch funny movies, funny TV shows, funny clips, let's say in the middle of the day or before you go to sleep, because I've learned there's a study shows as well, and even specifically with fibromyalgia case, that one of the specialists recommended that why don't you try this, you know, and at the same time try something fun, and then eventually slowly not only the pain but also the creativity started to harness or start to kick in. And I was like, that's interesting. But I think many of us subconsciously disconnecting with that. And I'm super curious, have you ever felt that you might perhaps at that moment disconnected with your inner child, therefore you thought that you're not creative, and you thought that this pain, maybe that you mentioned about the trauma, it's because the inner child was not being attended?
Oh yeah, to cultivate your creativity is to reconnect with the inner child. I'm so glad you brought that up. It is inner child work. And when we neglect our inner child, we are forsaking everything that child has been through and kind of leaving them in the dust. But that can come back to haunt us in physical ways, as I'm here to say. Yeah, I love that you brought that up, because I will be the first person to tell you that most of my adult life, and even still today, I struggle with taking myself way too seriously. And I have gotten a lot better thanks to my creative outlets and honoring my inner child and kind of, you know, recalling the things that made her laugh and giggle and feel safe. And, But I just like you said, I was programmed to believe that I had to carry myself in a very serious way. I used to work in a masculine job, and I was a leader, you know, at one point, and there were a lot of men that worked under me, and that I just felt like that was part of my persona that I had to project in order to be taken seriously. And I don't think that was serving my mental health at all. And so, yes, I think laugh therapy, learning to laugh at yourself, maybe, if you are watching TV, I think it's good to limit, you know, the amount of TV consumption we do. But if you are going to, try turning off the news or the gory, action-packed movies, or even the intense emotional dramas, and just try to watch something funny and lighthearted every once in a while. And get outside and play, you know, walk barefooted in the grass and in the sand, and open your arms to the sun, and just honor that child that you were, and you will be healthier for it, both physically and mentally.
Yeah. And I could see the moment that you talk about the inner child, your face brightened up, you know, like, yes, finally, we're giving some attention and love and nurturing to our inner child. And it's super important. I think, you know, as long as we're living, it's super crucial to give our attention to our inner child, because our inner child is part of who we are, regardless of, you know, what age, because this is going to always going to help us to cultivate that creativity, not only creativity, but I think overall whole being. And including this, this is just one of the tools that you have shared. I thought to include this in the in our discussion because I'm a big believer with faith. And some people might have this kind of discussion not to believe to that extent. But I'm glad that you actually included that in your in your book about spiritual growth or journey, right? But before I ask you the question, I'm going to read, I think, phrase. Yeah, it's a phrase. So you mentioned here, spirituality has helped me to accept and understand that where I am currently at is part of my life's journey. And in this knowing, it has given me the courage to continue on my path, regardless of how scared or uncertain I feel. So could you share with us, like, your experience with your spiritual journey, especially given that you mentioned in this book, lack of your dad's approval, right?
Yeah.
how does this contribute with your whole being, with your spiritual journey? Could you share with us?
Where to begin? Well, so I was raised in an atheistic household. And I have to say, returning to the inner child discussion a little bit, as a child, I was very hungry for some sort of spirituality. I was even already like asking those big questions, you know, like, why are we here? What is this God other people are speaking of? And again, I had to suppress all that because of my upbringing. And as, you know, I got older, I have dabbled in different forms of spirituality because that hunger's always been there. And I've always just wanted to educate myself on what is out there. What are other people's understanding? What are other people's answers to those big questions I've always had? And, you know, no matter what religion it is, and I mentioned in the book, I think almost every religion has some truths in it and their doctrines, and I have found that to be true. And so as I started to embark on this journey of self-healing, my spiritual healing had to come into place, including forgiving my parents for raising me in an atheistic household and not allowing me to explore while I was under their roof, and you know, acknowledging that while my father was the authority figure during my childhood, that he wasn't right about everything. And also embracing the idea that, I mean, if you can't believe that there is a purpose for our existence, that is such a depressing thought. Mm-hmm. And so I have to, and the way I see my path laying out in front of me, it seems to confirm over and over again that I do have a purpose, and I'm not the only one that has a purpose. We all have a purpose. Mm-hmm. Our interactions are meant to be, And we're all working towards something. We don't know what that is, and we probably won't know in our lifetimes, but it is all for something. And I also believe that when our time is up and we are gone, we will have some of those answers to those questions. Like, we'll understand at that point. But that's just kind of my afterlife philosophy there.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I think the essence of life is really tuning in or leaning in with your purpose. The more that we reconnect with who we truly are, the more that we get clarity of what is our message to people, just like what you have gone through. And it's a blessing in disguise, even though, yes, there was a pain, but sometimes really the pain is the transformation for you to really create back to what you're supposed to do. And I love, because you also mentioned in your book, like briefly about your Buddhism and Taoism journey. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very, very interesting. So how deep was like your experience with this two? Well, I would say maybe it's the same, maybe not, but you could provide more information. Like, how deep was your practice?
With Eastern religion?
Yeah.
So I was always curious about Buddhism and Taoism because I felt like even from a young age, what little research and reading I did, that it's more centered on you can control yourself. You can learn how to be a good moral person who does good in the world without needing a large religion with authority figures and a strict doctrine to tell you to do so. So mm-hmm. I really resonated with that. It's basically inner work. It's always a quest of inner work. And when I was 16, I earned a scholarship to go to Thailand.
Yes.
And I didn't get to choose the country. That was chosen for me. And it just so happens that is a majority Buddhist country. So mm-hmm. I was really excited to actually be exposed to a culture that completely embraces this religion that I was interested in anyway. And I was very happy to be a part of it and witness the temples and the Buddhist monks and the traditions. But mostly what I noticed was that the culture in general, even though the majority of them are quite impoverished, people were just really happy.
Mm-hmm.
They were happy with what they had, and they were happy to share with you. And it was so different from what I was used to here in the United States. And I thought it was just absolutely beautiful and a testament to what their beliefs taught them and how to live their life, which is modest and humble and beautiful in every aspect.
That's beautiful. I think, I mean, I didn't really practice any Eastern religions in that kind of sense of Buddhism and Taoism. However, I think coming from a third world country in the Philippines, we really been taught to be grateful for what we have in life. And obviously, I got that practice until now to keep smiling and, you know, have fun in life, be playful, and, you know, just don't take things seriously, even though I came to the point when I was in Singapore, because again, the environment has changed. So just like you, I have to act as a, you know, involved with the masculinity environment. So no weakness emotions here. If not, you're not going to take it seriously. But then I realized that it just like, it doesn't resonate with me. So I got burnout at that point.
Yeah.
But then now I'm like, I care less. I'd rather be in my truth. So then, you know, like you are nurturing, you are loving, you are giving yourself compassion. And it's very liberating that you have nothing to prove yourself because you keep on tuning into your true being, you know. And I love that you dive in with this spirituality journey, because I've had to go through with that as well for my self-healing as part of, you know, transformation from being in a corporate world to now in a coaching journey as well, in a holistic approach as well, like yours. So I think, you know, I think it's a gift, and I love the holistic approach of what we're doing. And I thought, you know, what you have covered here, pretty, pretty special. And you even mentioned your tool, which is the light, right? Which I'm not going to get into depth into that. So I let people to kind of have that intriguing or curiosity, but maybe you could give a little bit what would be this tool, the light, could help them slowly but surely to wherever they wanted to kind of overcome.
Yeah, so I came up with the light tool, this mechanism to apply to essentially every facet of your life, whether it's physical and mental health or your creative abilities or your spiritual beliefs. But the idea metaphorically is to shine light on these areas that we neglect and we ignore for the sake of appearing to be serious and having it all together. And these things have been in the dark and hiding for a very long time for a lot of people. So shining that light in there and meeting all of these areas with intention, you know, it's not just shining the light and taking a look and running away because it's kind of scary. And it can be kind of scary. And that's why there are coaches like you and me to help people get through those scary parts. But it's just setting the intention of, this is a part of me as a human being, no matter how seriously I take myself. I'm no different than anyone else. And I need to take a look at this. Mm-hmm. And what is my most authentic expression of that?
Yeah, so I'm just gonna give them a little bit of glimpse of how it looks like. So that's the tool. But if you grab the book, then you'll find out what it looks like and how you're gonna, you know, apply that to your daily activities. Now, this question that I'm about to ask you, I honestly didn't have any clue what is this all about. I'm talking about psilocybin or psilocybin. I don't know if I pronounce it correctly, but I hope so.
Your second one was right.
Okay, so psilocybin. Yeah. as I told you, or as I mentioned, I have zero clue what is it. And then only until I read your book, I'm like, okay. Then I was like, maybe. Then I dig in a little bit. And I was like, oh, that's the one. But I didn't know the term, right? Mm. So maybe people would know this as well, but maybe some people would not. And I thought to ask you this, to have a deeper conversation, like, how does it really give you the benefits of reducing the chronic pain? And you also ask when you first took this, that you have this question in your mind, like, am I going to use it forever and ever? Like the time, the span? I want you to share with us a little bit like your experience, the benefits. And the most important is that, would there be any precautionary message that you would like to share to people considering taking this or consuming this as part of the situation where they're at?
Yeah, absolutely. This is quite a subject that deserves quite a bit of disclaimer. So for those who don't know what psilocybin is, one of the most common street terms for it is magic mushrooms. And so let me see where I want to start here. To begin with, I think it's important to say that anyone can achieve positive transformation without psilocybin. I want to be clear, and I have no gain or nothing to benefit me in announcing that I took psilocybin and that it helped me immeasurably. I'm not advertising or selling it or anything like that. I just, in my, you know, quest to be authentic in this book. I wanted the whole truth. And so if I had omitted that, it would have been a loss to my story. So that being said, psilocybin has gotten a really bad rap over the decades, mostly thanks to the US government. But the truth is, human beings have been using it for thousands of years. Our shamans, our medicine men and women, healers, even just hunters in ancient times would use it because it sharpens your visual clarity. And so it's been used for a long, long time. And the fact that in our modern patriarchal government, we try to criminalize a living organism that can benefit human beings is ridiculous to me. But, and then that being said, I know it's not for everybody, and I know just the subject can be a turnoff, but I just want to share how powerful it was in my journey. It was my studies in psychology. While I was enrolled, I would also use my access to these databases, these medical databases, to find out as much as I could about fibromyalgia and what's the latest research, things that weren't even out in public newspapers or articles or anything yet. And there was just a little bit of like, psilocybin might help. Just a little bit here and there, like studies show it might help. And I was curious because I have been curious about psychedelics since college. Not that I got big into them, but I read books by people like Carlos Castaneda, who talks about his journeys under a brujo, a Mexican medicine man. But I had a deep respect for psychedelics. I didn't look at it as a party drug. I wasn't looking at it as a way to escape my pain at all. And so I got a hold of some psilocybin and I took it. And as I talk about in my book, I had an incredibly relieving, transformational, it was just a life-changing moment. And yes, I did talk about my initial fears were, okay, so what now? Like, this has relieved my pain in this moment, but am I going to have to take psilocybin for the rest of my life? And I am here to say that that is not the case at all. Actually, I have not taken any in probably almost a year now, but I'm still very much pain-free. So it just helped me to get not only with the pain, deal with the pain in that moment, but it also helped me to kind of fast track the transformation in my mind, the healing that needed to happen in my own mind so that I could overcome the pain on a regular day-to-day basis.
I love you mentioned that it's not for every for life that you're going to take it, because I think people, especially if you have fear, right, you tend to, okay, this is going to help me. It's good that you have strong belief with that, but relying on that, there's so many things that you can do, which again, actually, Jamie provided a lot of insightful topics, not only that, but practical questions that will help you to kind of move slowly in a positive way to not only reduce the pain that you're experiencing, but also for longevity, if I could say that, as also long-term pain-free, right? Because I'm a big believer as well to take natural ways rather than depending on anything external, you know, anything with connection with the nature is beautiful. I think many of our governments or laws that providing in terms of natural medicine, it's because of they don't want to have a conflict with biopharma, right? I think so. But I'm I'm okay to say that because I, just like you, I've been dismissed in my situation, in my health condition. And ever since that, I thought to myself that, you know, there's a possible way to have a healthier lifestyle that could reduce whatever I'm experiencing. I think I've shared with you that I have this myoma or fibroids, and I know that it could get better by having the proper mindset, you know, all of this holistic approach in life. And I love that it's all about authenticity. What you're sharing here in your book, once again, you mentioned it's about your experience, you know, it's not medical advice. You're not provoking people to, you know, with all the things that they're experiencing, but also sharing your story, you know, in which part of the chapters that perhaps they could resonate with and just experience, explore, experiment, because through that, opening yourself into what possible things that could happen instead of just blocking, oh, I know that it didn't work. Because I think you would agree that every day, well, especially every month, we evolve, especially if we are experimenting so many things in our lives, we will evolve. So doesn't mean that you tried, say, yoga 3 years ago will have the same impact this moment, especially now you're very holistic. It could be different. You know, so I love all of these things that you have mentioned. And practically, I would say these things keep you optimistic. Now, I'm going to ask you, like, is there any other tool or practices that you didn't cover here that perhaps you can share right now, that a new discovery of yours that help you keep optimistic? Or if there's none, what will be the ideal one optimism practice or tool that you could share to people that perhaps not everyone willing to try, but worth to stress out for people to give it a try, because there's really a beauty of or beneficial with that optimism practice or tool that you have shared here?
There are so many things. Let me start by saying I have not always been optimistic in my life. I was a very negative leaning person. I was raised, you know, by people that tended to look at things negatively. So that was my programming, and that's, you know, all I knew for a long time. And psilocybin actually helped me to get kind of the bigger picture on how my mind operates and see that I was looking at everything negatively most of the time. And with that revelation, I realized I actually wept. I wept for two reasons. One, I wept for all of the beautiful moments I had missed in my life because I couldn't remove that filter of negativity that mutes everything. But I wept with joy because I learned that I can look at everything different now, and I can choose from this moment forward. I don't have to remain the same person. I can choose to be different, and I can choose to start looking at things a lot differently. And that was the beginning of just powerful transformation in my life. As far as what anybody could do, because again, I know psilocybin's not for everybody. And sometimes it fast tracks you a little too much. You know, you can move light years ahead, and it can be hard to function in a day-to-day world. But what anybody could do to improve their optimism is meditation. You know, I've struggled with first thing in the morning, waking up with anxious thoughts, depressing thoughts, whether it's dwelling in the past or worrying about the future. And that sets the tone for your entire day. And so I have learned and made it a habit. And now it is very much a part of my daily life, that get up in the morning, get a drink of water, but don't even start the coffee yet or anything. And
yes.
I've got my own personal space. It's kind of an altar. It's just special things from, you know, some antiques from ancestors and special things to me. And I meditate, and just 10 minutes in the morning can completely change that tone from waking up anxious and nervous and where do I begin? I have so many things I have to work on and I'm already behind and I just woke up. So it completely changed everything. And I think that that's a great tool. It's a free tool. It is, as long as you are a human being, we all have 10 minutes. We really do. Like, you can commit 10 minutes. You can cut that time out of looking at your phone or watching TV. There are things that you don't need to do as badly. And this one habit can change your life.
Absolutely. I love that. And to add into that, for people that saying 10 minutes is still a lot, what Jamie just mentioned is cutting your usage or consumption of gadgets or even watching or scrolling. We know all of these things. And I think one of the important stuff that I would just like to add up into that will be setting intention and also bringing awareness. Because I believe that when you are still in the beginning of your discovering your true self, your money mindset, you know, oh, sorry, monkey mindset will, you know, try to sabotage you multiple times. And just be patient, you know. I think when you're in this place of transformation, allow yourself to be more loving. Because I was that, you know, I thought that being harsh to myself will keep me moving forward. It was helpful, but I think, again, going back to the inner child, I was neglecting her, you know. Mm-hmm. But now I'm embracing this moment that, yes, it's challenging, but it gets better and better. And so intention, awareness, and consistency. You have to move your motion so your brain and also your body will start to adjust that, okay, something is changing here. You can communicate to yourself that, hey, I want to transform. Are you with me or not? We're best friends, aren't we? So let's help.
We're in
one
it
another.
Together, like it or not.
Yeah, we're here together and for serving me better. So please, I don't need that negativity. Let's help for the positive one. So I love that, the meditation, and just, you know, remembering for everyone that it's setting the intention, bringing awareness, and I think patience, really, really important, especially in our world right now where everything just bam, 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 right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now, of course, for everyone that I love your truthfulness with our conversation. And I hope that people who are watching or listening right now can feel that energy as well. And so first of all, for those people who truly resonated with your story, where they can grab your book and how they can connect with you.
Yeah, so they can go to my website, which is alchemizeyourpain.com. And if they want to purchase the book, they can click on the shop tab at the top, and that will take you over to purchase it in either paperback or ebook. Mm-hmm. They can find me on LinkedIn as Jamie Allred, the Chronic Pain Coach, mm-hmm. and on Facebook also as let me think here. It's Jamie Allred, but oh, the Pain Alchemist on Facebook.
Okay.
And on Instagram, it is allred.jamie. That's my handle. It's pretty easy. allred.jami.
Beautiful. And as I always mention, if the guest didn't able to remember everything, we got you covered. We're going to put that in the blog, in the captions, in the information, so you won't miss how to connect if it truly resonated with you. I think, you know, the authenticity, the truthfulness of Jamie in this book, truly, truly powerful, especially for those who have experienced chronic pain as well. So before I let you go, Jamie, I have a last question for you.
Okay.
If you could speak to your younger self about your experiences, you know, what key lessons about priorities or overcoming pain, especially given or including your dad's lack of disapproval with what you faced, what message that you would like to share to your younger self, or what message would you like to convey to your younger self?
Oh man, that I would like to share with myself that I wasn't wrong for believing or asking questions. I wasn't wrong for being interested in the things I was interested in. And while it felt like I was the oddball, no matter where I went in my community and my family, it always felt like I was an outsider, and I was, but I wasn't wrong for that. And I wish that I could give her a hug and tell her that you just keep being you and don't start changing for people, because they aren't always right and they don't know what's best for you. So
beautiful.
Be your authentic self.
Let's give ourselves hugs for our younger self.
Yeah.
I can see that you became emotional.
Yeah, when I think about her, I do get emotional. I even have like a picture I keep by my desk of I don't know if you can see. I keep a little picture where I'm doing like a little dance. I just think about her, and I wish that she would have known, you know, how special she was, and that she wasn't wrong or bad for being a little different from everybody. So,
well, the beauty is that you reconnected with her. And I think now slowly she's becoming more and more light, you know, more shining and more love. And definitely when she felt that she's been reconnected with you, she's going to share that back to you. So thank you so much for sharing that message. It's truly, truly wonderful. I hope that everyone, not hope, I'm sure that many people watching or listening right now do enjoy the truthfulness of our conversation, because this is truly a crucial, I would say, in this moment of time, that we're so disconnected with our true being because of the external events, materials that we believe, we thought that it's super, super important. But I just want to remind everybody that your gifts, it's actually within you. It's within you. You are worthy and deserving of extraordinary within you. The only thing that's waiting for you is to rediscover that. So I hope that the story of Jamie, just part of her chapters in the book, brought you transformation as well, that what you're experiencing in pain, there's always a gift in that. And I hope that you find a different perspectives listening or watching into our conversation. So thank you so much, Jamie, for this opportunity. I'm so grateful for this conversation we're having. Congratulations for your book. And everybody grab her book, connect with her. I'm going to put that on the link. And thank you so much for watching or listening right now. Just remember that you have the power within you, just realigning or reconnecting with yourself. Until next time, with yours truly, Cindy Marie, here to empower your life. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you so much. I am very grateful. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. What incredible conversations with Jamie. That authenticity, expressing true self. Not only that, but also some of the tools that truly help her transforming pain into empowerment and be the tool to help others. Now, if this episode truly resonated with you, make sure to grab a copy of her book, Alchemize Your Pain, to learn more of the practices and tools that could also help you to transform your life. My question to you is, what small loving action can you take today to gradually reduce your pain or create the fulfilling life you deserve? Drop your comments below and we would love to hear from you. And for our Empower Your Life show, Grow Organically, and more amazing and incredible people that to share their stories and expertise and to reach more people so that we can transform and empower lives, hit the subscribe button, follow us whichever platforms that you are listening or watching this episode right now, and share. Until next time, stay optimistic, transform your pain into empowerment by shifting your mindset. Keep taking action, believe in yourself, and stay on your game because you've got what it takes to achieve your dreams and make an impact on this planet, Earth. Be unstoppable.